Welcome to The Inner Game. I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host. I hope this conversation will serve you on your own path of living life fully and courageously. The inner game is our relationship to our purpose, to the contribution we want to be in bringing forth a more beautiful world. These are conversations with people who are up to something evolutionary in their lives, and an opportunity to hear about how these people grow personally and how that strengthens their organizations and businesses to make a bigger difference. Our guest today is Marshall Saunders, founder of the Citizens Climate Lobby. After a bout with cancer in 1985, Marshall, a former real estate developer, decided he wanted to do something with his life to help the world. And I'm so excited to have this conversation with you today, Marshall. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Gwen. Thank you.
It's just a treat always to get to speak with you like this. It's been quite a while. I think I was trying to remember when we first met, when we were both working with an organization called Results, working on poverty and hunger issues. That must have been sometime in the late 90s. But
Yes. Gwen, I found Results in 94. And so I must have met you in the 2 or 3 years after that.
Yep, because I started in 96. And then I seem to remember this leadership conference that we were in, maybe in Maryland. But I remember that so well. And I remember getting to know you then. And it's been a joy to know you ever since.
Well, vice versa, Gwen. Vice versa.
Now, you started doing self-awareness work, personal growth work, back in 1980, so 37 years ago.
Yes, I've been doing it for a long time, and it's been fairly continuous.
Yeah.
A friend invited me to go to a 3-day workshop back in 1980, and I went, and it just knocked my socks off. I didn't realize the potential for spiritual growth or just growth.
So that had never been really something you'd focused on in your life until that point.
No, it had. I always thought there was something more to life than what I was doing, what I knew. But I didn't get any encouragement from even my smartest friend. And so I just went along not knowing that there was a world of growth and spiritual growth and a much richer, fuller life as a consequence.
What are some of the things that you notice on a day-to-day basis now that are different, or maybe even some of the early things that you noticed when you started to become aware of this sort of expanded perception of life?
Well, one of the things, which is not necessarily a great thing, is that my friends began to change.
Yeah.
And I just found more a richer relationship with the people who were involved in their own spiritual growth, right, as opposed to the ones that are pretty much swimming with the current,
right,
and not trying to rock the boat or so. And then beyond that, really more intimacy with people. I began to associate with people who were doing something extraordinary. They seemed to be just people I was interested in. And, of course, Sam Daly Harris, the founder of Results, was one of them. He was a good friend. And another is, of course, is Alex Counts, the founder of Grameen Foundation.
Right.
And on and on.
And they say that our potential is realized by the primary people that we surround ourselves with.
I could agree with that.
Yeah. It's amazing when you see what's possible when people start to surround themselves with people that are inspiring and have their share their passion for being kind of fully in the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I took a number of workshops. One of them was called Self-Expression and Leadership. And when I began to express myself, my higher self, when I began to express that higher self, I found that people were beginning to follow me.
Hmm.
And whether or not I wanted to be a leader, because I was being self-expressed,
right,
and my highest self, then people kind of caught something from that and wanted to be around it. They knew that same thing was in their own selves, and they wanted to find expression for it and get in touch with it.
It's contagious. Tell us about kind of experience with developing relationships in Russia.
Oh, well, let me see. So I was looking for something big to do, something important to do. I found a group called Beyond War, and they were up to big things. We were much more concerned about nuclear holocaust than we are now. I don't know if it's justified to think about it less, but at that time it was much more on the table. And the group Beyond War brought in a psychologist from Moscow. So they were training scientists and doctors and trying to create a what they called a new way of thinking. And forget the doctor's name, but he essentially was saying that very young people were being affected, their personalities were being affected by their fear of nuclear war, this thing hanging over us.
Wow.
And he said we need more exchanges between people of Russia and the United States. And I just held up my hand and I said, would a Rotary Club in Moscow be a good thing? And everybody in the room started clapping. And I thought, that was a surprise to me. And, of course, they all said yes, and then, it seemed like impossible. But I thought, well, I might be able to do this thing.
You've always gotten yourself into big things just by starting.
Yeah.
I
have a deep philosophy about this. It's called one foot in front of the other. And I went out to San Diego State University and had a professor of Russian, translate some letters, which I sent copied and sent off to a number of organizations in Russia. And we came up with one called the Freedom Club. And they were interested and eventually did become a Rotary Club, and there were several of them.
Wow.
They all about the same time, and that was about 1990.
So is Rotary in Russia because of you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, nothing good is ever done by yourself.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I was one of the chief proponents of it, one of the three, four, or five guys who were pushing back in 1990, early 1990.
Wow. You know, I was looking actually a little bit into Beyond War, and they have some beautiful kind of guiding principles. It says, I will resolve conflict. I will not use violence. I will maintain an attitude of goodwill. I will not preoccupy myself with an enemy. And I will work together with others to build a world beyond war. And it's funny because those are things that I always think of when I think of you and think of the activism work that, you know, we both have been involved in and what you've built over the years.
Well, yeah, thank you, Gwen. Those are beautiful, beautiful principles. And I didn't know that they were on the net, but I certainly agree with them, and I might go get them, print them up, and put them nearby somewhere.
I want you to talk a little bit about these principles that seem to be so foundational to the way you work, and certainly to the way that now the Citizens Climate Lobby operates. And, you know, I would love for you to talk a little bit about, you know, how these got to be ingrained in you, I guess probably both through your personal growth work and your spiritual work, but also certainly in the principles of results and microcredit and those sort of foundational experiences in your life as a servant of the world.
Well, yeah, thank you, Gwen. I would say that integrity, you know, I always thought that integrity meant something like, if you say you're going to do something, you do it. Well, of course, that's part of it. But it is also living in concert with my higher self. And I didn't realize that I was at least a little careless about keeping my word.
Where would you see that happen?
Well, in not showing up on time, and just knowing that people are thinking that I said I'd be there, and something else came up, and I just know people would understand if I didn't show up. And it's not a big thing. I wasn't doing that in a big way, but there was a little sloppiness, a little carelessness around the edges. And yep. When I stiffened that up, then people could count on me better. But more than that, I could count on myself better.
Right.
So I would arrive at a meeting first, you know, rather than be 5 minutes late or 10 minutes late. Just giving more attention and intentionality to my word, my speaking, and my commitments.
You're listening to The Inner Game on KDNK, and I'm Gwen Garcelon, your host, and my guest today is Marshall Saunders. And we're talking about, I think, the evolutionary power of love to transform the world and ourselves. And I think, you know, so much of this comes from, you know, when we start self-awareness work, there's a lot of things that we start to see that sometimes we don't like very much. You know, we see those ways that we are a little sloppy around the edges, or that we're speaking to ourselves and not being very loving to ourselves, and not even in ways that we may be aware of right away without that starting to dig a little and to really observe. And what you're starting to, you know, to share is about that process of kind of uncovering the authentic self that we really truly want to be and that all of us have the potential to be. It's all within us.
Integrity was a big, big part of it, and telling myself the truth about reality. And when I began to do that more and more, I let myself see things that I had not let myself see before. Mm. And one of them was, of course, Gwen, the work that we did together in results. And so of course, everybody knows about global poverty and the degradation of poverty, and we all know somewhat about the devastation of the diseases of the poor. And of course, the impending climate change, not impending, it's with us now. We'll just wake up to it. And all those all those things, as I told, it's a little speculation, but as I told myself the truth about reality, as I had the courage to face things that I hadn't wanted to face before, I could see more clearly. Now, this sounds very braggadocious to me, and I apologize for it, but I'm trying to dig at some kind of what was changing, what was changing me,
right.
Some way of being and thinking in me that was changing me.
What was that?
It was, first of all, there was a lot of people helping me out.
Mm-hmm.
I think people saw me beginning to wake up and be more responsible to life. One of them, of course, was Sam Daly Harris. And I was still taking workshops and personal transformation. And I was starting to do things, which, you know, like that Rotary Club in Leningrad.
Hmm.
And it was, and I found it was just thrilling. I just loved doing it.
When you're expressing your truth, that's the best feeling.
It's
the best game.
Feeling.
So after many years as a volunteer, citizen activist with the organization that we've been talking about, Results, working on hunger and poverty issues, you had another awakening, another sort of awareness about the world that called on you. Tell us about that.
I had, like everybody else, I think, began to see little things in the paper, like 10 inches of rain somewhere in the United States. And I would think, it's not supposed to rain 10 inches. It's supposed to rain 1, 2, 3. 3, 4 is a big lot of rain.
Right.
And, you know, and I would even see occasionally 20 inches of rain. And so, but I just kind of put it aside. I didn't let it break in on me. What was I going to do anyway?
Right.
And then I went to see Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth, and I thought, I've got to do something. I don't know what it is. I don't know what to do with the problem, but I wanted to do something. I actually went to see that movie 3 times in a couple of weeks. But not knowing what to do, I kind of gave it up.
Yep.
I kind of let it slide to the background again.
Don't you find that that's often the case with those kinds of things? They'll tell you about the bad news, but not anything to do about it. So it leaves
right.
you almost a little bit more in despair than you were before.
Right. Exactly. You're more in despair. It's like, what? I don't know what to do. So leave me alone. So then Gore, was written up a little bit in the Time magazine, and he said he was going to train 1,000 people to give that slideshow. Well, I knew I wanted to do that, and I knew I could do it well. At that time, I had been talking to Rotary Clubs. I had talked to about 150 of them about something called microcredit. So I knew I could find people to talk to, and I knew I could talk to them. And so I got trained. I went out in the world. I gave eventually 50 of those talks. In the first 10 months, I gave 43 of those talks. And, you know, and then the same thing came up. It's like, this is not enough.
Right.
This is not enough. I was asking people to change, put more air in their tires and change their light bulbs. And I'm thinking, this is not going to work. And I thought, people have got to get, you know, remember that quote by James P. Grant that all love so much?
Right.
It goes like this. I think I can do it from memory. Each of the great social achievements of recent decades has come about not because of government proclamations, but because people organized, made demands, and made it good politics for governments to respond. It's the political will of the people that makes and sustains the political will of governments.
Exactly.
And I thought, I can do that. Sam Daly Harris, the founder of Results on Hunger and Poverty and Microcredit Basic Education, did that. And I had been a part of it. I had been trained by him. And I thought, this same thing will work for the climate. So I seem like I should stop there, but there is one little story I'd like to tell about how I broke through and got the thing going.
Oh, please, because that's such a great story.
When you make a commitment, you start acting on it and doing it with some power and enthusiasm, something's going to happen. So there I am, and I got invited to talk to a foreign affairs club of an area called Rancho Bernardo. It's a pretty big area. I think there are 40,000 people up there. And so I went up there. Well, it turned out to be not that at all, but an old folks home in Rancho Bernardo. They would get together once a month and talk about foreign affairs, and there was about 10 or 12 of them, you know. So it's something I wouldn't necessarily have been fighting for that venue, but there I was, and I gave this talk that I always give, and I try to give it just as enthusiastically to 10 or 1 as I would give to 100.
Sure.
And so I finished up the slides, which were dramatic slides about melting ice and sea level rise and extreme storms and the floods and the 20-inch rains and droughts and all of it. And when I finished up and I asked for questions, a lady on the back row, she must have been late 80s, early 90s, she said, "I can't read with the new light bulbs. I can't read with the new light bulbs." I thought, what is going on here? I show her all this stuff about what's happening in the world, very dramatic and fearful stuff. And she says, then she wants to know, would it be better to use two of the new kind of light bulbs or one of the old kind? I have no idea. And I'm just coming also again, this is not working. And another elderly lady, she said, "Well, Mr. Saunders, then what should we do?" And, you know, and I was just dumbfounded, like, what should we do? We can't change our light bulbs, doesn't make any difference. What should we do? And when I gave her and the other 8 or 9, 10 people in the room a one-sentence description of what Results does and this organization on hunger and poverty, and this lady, she said, "Well, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that?
Why don't you do that?"
I said, "Well, her name was Siegel, last name Siegel. I said, Mrs. Siegel, I don't think that people would come to a meeting like that." And then she said, I'll help you. So, you know, when I say when you're out there pounding, something's going to happen. Well, I ran into this lady. Her name was Mrs. Siegel. And she really trapped me into saying, "Okay, I'll rent the Rancho Bernardo Library. We'll call people, you'll call people, and we'll get them together there, and we'll start the first lobby team that will lobby the press and our members of Congress on the climate."
Well, I cannot believe we have to wrap it up here, but we're going to just have to do a second. We're going to have to do a second one. We're going to have to do part two. Okay, are you up for that?
Okay, Gwen. That'd be fine.
Okay.
That'd be fine. Dear.
Okay. Well, let's do that then. Thank you, Marshall. This is fascinating, and I'm so grateful for your work in the world. Thank you all in the listening audience for being with us today. If you would like to participate more actively in this conversation, if you have a question for Marshall or me, please join the Facebook page at The Inner Game. And until next time, be well and take action. Yeah.
are swift, rocks are ancient, mountains are high, oceans gray, winds are restless, trees are patient, you, my child, are away. Are crashing, rivers churning, planets twirling, stars ablaze, storms are raging, atoms whirling.